Eric Nickel.
That's right.
I'm here with you on your farm. What's the name of this place, this locality?
It'll be Lisroon, just Lisroon Road.
And how far are you away from the border here now?
About a quarter of a mile.
And does your farm spread?
Yes.
All the way down to the border line?
Yes, yes. The farm runs along the border.
My. And talk to me then during the... first of all, tell me, have you been farming this land all your life?
I'm here from day one, from the day I was born.
And what about... And your father before you?
Yes.
What about... And your grandfather before...
I'm sure there were.
Generations of Nickels here.
Yes.
So tell me, when it came to, you were growing up and I suppose things were quite normal and you went to the local school here and...
Yes, down the road here, I own it now, it's a school, Lisroon School.
And what was it called?
Lisroon School. And it's still there, that's where I got my education, down the road here.
Yeah. And it's on your land now?
It's on my land. I bought it there like a year ago, the school.
Yeah. And when was that built?
The school?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't say. It could be hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, imagine. So children being educated in that school?
Yes, yes.
Was it Catholic or Protestant?
Well, I'd say years ago, the last years was Protestant, but the years before that, I'd say it was a mixed school.
Yeah. How did you get on with your Catholic friends?
Very well. I could get on with everybody.
So, tell me, when it came to the troubles, where was the checkpoint here?
The army checkpoint was down at the crossroads down there.
Down that direction?
As you came up there, yes.
So, you were really in no man's land
here? We were in no man's land.
Yeah. Mm. So, how did that affect you in during the years? Can you recall those early years of the Troubles?
Well, in 80, I built that unit there. And when I came out through the door of the dairy, at night, the police would be on the far side of the road there to bring me up to the house. And I couldn't come out then to daylight in the morning.
Okay, so you were constantly minded, I suppose.
Well, just, yes. The police knew more than I knew, you know, about what was going on.
Yeah. And so, were you ever confronted by terrorists coming across the border?
Not really. No. But you're always living in dread.
Yeah. Mm. And you had your family here, did you? Or you were married with children at the time?
No, with no children. At that time, you couldn't. Just impossible, you know. You're living in horror all the time. You didn't know what was going to happen from day to day. Just as simple as that.
And so your wife, what's your wife's name? Was she a local girl here?
Well, she came from across the border.
Yeah.
Just about 10 miles away. So.
And so, during those years then, were you, you know, kind of, there must have been traffic, people passing through and...
Well, not too much people passing through. The only thing was passing through was the army.
Yeah.
They were constant on the doing patrols on the road.
Yeah.
There wasn't too many on there. No one was going through the checkpoints, you know. The roads all blew up down here. With one road down for about a quarter of a mile, it was all cratered for about a quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
There was no getting out at all. There was only one way.
So, in that case, did that make it less safe or safer for you?
There was no safer for the bad people can walk as well as ride.
Yeah.
So they can. And just for instance, going to church, we only have about 2 miles to go. We had about 10 miles every Sunday to go to church. We had to go. We had to leave here and go down to the main road, up into Rosslea and back out. And over there is about half a mile away. We were looking back at the house when we were done about 7 or 8 miles. We were looking back at the house. Was that far to go to church?
Yeah. And whereas normally, if the road wasn't blown up,
you'd be
2 miles.
At the present time, we're getting up there to church and by 2 miles less.
Yeah.
And that time we're doing 10, 11 miles every Sunday to go to church.
Yeah. So, will we walk towards your house?
It's
a little bit cold.
Mm-hmm.
But when... During the Troubles, you know, a lot of the local farmers, they became part-time UDR.
Yes.
Did you join up?
No, I didn't. No. You couldn't join up for you're in a bad enough situation as you were without joining up. But see, anyone that did join up in this country, they just murdered them all. 1 year, 4 or 5, just murdered one after the other.
And did it affect your family at all? Did you know people who were killed?
Oh, surely. Well, they knew them all. They knew everyone.
So, living at that time then, was it like living on... You know, you were constantly watching out. You had the police...
Yes.
Minding you.
Yes.
You must have been...
We were just living in dread every day. Simple as that. No.
From the time you got up in the morning
yes.
to milk your cows.
Yes.
Yeah, imagine. It's an extraordinary story when you hear it from different people, you know, the different experiences.
Yes, you're just living in dread all the time.
Yeah. And had you any? Okay. So did you find though that because you were so close to the border? I mean, were you threatened at any? You must have had threats.
Oh yes. Good.
Yeah. Well, you can tell me about those when we. Oh, it's a bit warmer in here, isn't it?
It is.
We sit here by the table, kitchen table. So what was said to you?
The police will tell you about those threats. They got death threats and tell you to watch yourself. And then when the farmer land up for sale here in the early 90s, 91, and I bought the farm. And then...
Was that a farm attached to your own
yes,
land?
Yes, attached to my own farm, which was seen out through each other.
Yeah.
And the police wouldn't let me then go to the farm
mm-hmm.
to look at the cattle. The wife had to go and look at the cattle.
And why do you think it was your life was... Were you the only son here on
yes,
the farm?
Yes. It was ethnic cleansing just at that time. Just the farmers were all been put out of. Several farmers had to leave the farms.
Did you feel like doing that at any stage?
No, I did not. I wouldn't have walked out for anyone. You know, I'd have stayed on, but a lot of people had to move for their life was threatened that much, they had to go. Just walk out and leave all behind.
Yeah.
It's another thing. To be reared in a farm and it's your lifetime to be put out of it.
And had you any idea of the people that were doing this to you? Did you know the people...
No, not really, no. We didn't know who wrote she. Well, you couldn't trust your neighbour. Simple as that.
Yeah.
It's your neighbour that sets you up. And then they get a stranger to do the deed. That's the way I looked at it.
So was there ever a shot fired at you, or you know, was there ever a?
Well, we're out one night, and we came home here about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're only in the house when the shots were fired at the house.
When did this happen?
During the Troubles, and the police was out on a checkpoint on the main road at Rusley, and they rang to see was all right.
Okay. And were you in the house when the shots were fired?
Yes.
And they were fired at the roof?
Well I don't know, just shots were fired outside the house.
Yeah.
So, it's unbelievable, you know, to live in such a situation.
And would you protect yourself? Did you have a gun in the house that you would use?
No. Well, an old shotgun there, my father's, but I never used it in my life. Mm-hmm. But it'd be dirty and I wouldn't use it.
Yeah. And so, with your land right on the border, I mean,
yes.
And as you say, you were in no man's land because... The checkpoint was up the road. Sleeping in the house every night must have been a nightmare, you know. Just wondering who was going to come next.
I know. That's just the situation. You know, you're living in dread all 24-hour day. You know, it was night or day, you didn't know when.
So did you have a routine that you would, during those years? Did you, from the time you got up in the morning, did you have your... a kind of a way that you could protect yourself?
No, just you had to get up and you had to do the milking and see to the cattle all day and do the milking in the evening again and just get back into the house and lock up for the night. Simple as that.
And did you say a policeman would come down here and walk across with you or protect you when you were going across to the Haggard?
Well, only in the evening there when I'd be coming up from milking, they'd be there most evenings there just sitting in the car when I'd come out, just waiting for me to come out of the house, to the dairy, and wait till I get up into the house and then they'd go away.
Yeah.
It was just horrible.
You were appointed warden of the local church.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that? When did it happen?
It happened in 1961, when the clergyman was in the pew sitting in church when he came in and said, "You're church warden.
Yeah.
You're appointed all the night." So from that I was church warden for years and years and years. You're there in the porch. You welcome people there, the congregation, and then you see to the clergyman, and you collect the money.
So you're responsible, really?
Yes. And you're rector's church warden, you're the clergyman.
And it was Clock Church?
Yeah, Clock Church.
And that's... very close to the border.
It's 2 miles down the road. It's on the very edge of the border.
Yeah. Was that affected during the Troubles? It must have been affected.
Oh, yes. We're only one way and the whole road blew up. The army had all the roads blew up into the church. There's only one way in. And then one Sunday, we were in church, I was along with the wife, when the door opened and somebody came in and... tipped him on the shoulder and there was a policeman. And he said, keep the service going, there's a bomb on the road. And then he came back in and said, you may tell the clergyman to finish off, for he says, for we can do nothing about it. And we all went home over that bomb, 500-pound bomb on the road. And we all went over. There's only one way home. And we all went over home that day.
So this was this turned out to be a timing device, or was it an actual...
I couldn't say what it was, but it was a 500-pound bomb was on the road, under the road.
And who was it meant for?
I don't know. The security, or I don't know who it was meant for. But we all had to drive home over that day.
And how close was it to the church?
It'd be about 100 metres or so from the church.
Yeah.
Not far from the church.
So that was a horrible experience.
Yes. I know I was church warden and I was last. I had the money to count up and all. And me and my wife, we were the last over that day.
Yeah.
That Sunday. Everybody, when we came out of church, everybody was cleared.
Yeah.
But nobody there. It was an awful, it was the worst day of my life, I think it was.
Yeah.
When you look back at it, you think that you drove over a 500-pound bomb on the road.
Yeah. And what happened afterwards? Did they defuse the bomb?
Oh, they defused the bomb. Some days after it was defused.
Yeah.
But just shows you the way trouble was.
But did it leave a kind of that bitterness? Were you bitter against people who were from the other side of the border?
No, I was not.
Did it make you kind of, I won't bother going down there, I wouldn't go near that place, or, you know?
No.
Although you did marry a girl from
County Monaghan.
From County Monaghan.
That's right.
What was her maiden name?
She was Mua.
And was she Catholic or?
No, Protestant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did she have, you know, the same fear as you, of course?
Oh, yes. Just very same. That's life.
Hmm. And do you feel that being vulnerable, I suppose, is what is the word, you know, because you're out here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quiet, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The road is quiet. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It makes it even worse.
That's right. Mm-hmm. To just life.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't like to go back to it again, Adam?
No.
No.
And like you said, your neighbour, you couldn't trust your neighbour. And was there a kind of a tendency to, at that time though, to kind of come together as a community? Was there a community spirit here at all?
Not really. I'd say just individual kind of, you know. And there wasn't much community now. It was just horrible.
And would you kind of go around with your head down and not kind of...
Well, you wouldn't hold your head down, for you'd be watching out all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But were there any other threats to your life other than that night when the shots were fired at the house?
Well, there were several times that the police came out to say that there's a death threat again, yeah. To watch out for yourself. They knew. They came here several times.
And how the death threats were sent to the police? Is that?
Well, I don't know. They got them. They knew it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but you never got a letter into the house yourself.
No. Yeah. I know the wife's mother was down here one time. And the police landed to tell me about the threat, and she couldn't get away quick enough. And from that day till the poor woman died, she never came back to the house. She said she wouldn't come back.
Who's this?
The wife's mother.
Oh, her mother was living in the house with
you. Well, she was down here when the police came with her death threat.
Yeah.
And she couldn't get away home quick enough, and she never came back near the house after.
Imagine that. Mm-hmm. You know, she felt that.
Yes, that's right.
worry, tension.
That's tension.
Yeah.
She took it that bad. It was just...
And then, like you said, you didn't want to leave. You know, there's no way that you'd leave a place father and your ancestor farmed here.
Mm-hmm.
And so would your wife have had the same experience? Would she have stuck with you? I mean,
I think she would stuck.
Yeah.
Yes. She never said anything else. She's still here.
She's still here with you.
Yeah.
Like you said, you were glad to see peace coming.
Yes, yes.
And but all that 30 years of tension, would you still feel nervous now, like if something happened or, do you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're still... The feeling's still there, you know. It's hard to get rid of that.
Yeah.
What you went through over those years is hard just to, you know.
Or when you see me, a Kerry man, coming up to you.
That's right, that's right. Too true. What does he want?
How do you trust me at all?
I don't know.
But, yeah, I can understand, though. To try and break that... that kind of mould, you know, of untrust between people.
Mm. Mm. Big thing when you see your friends, you know, your neighbours being shot, you know, it's a serious thing, even the way on the security force, you know. There's one fella, Nearest Johnson, and he used to come here, and him and the wife on Kayleigh's, and it was unbelievable, you know, to see him. You couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all right. You go to the funerals and you can't understand. You don't really believe that they're gone, you know.
But that surely left a taste of bitterness as well. It must have.
When something that, there was that many tragedies around this country. It left that,
yeah,
an awful feeling when it happened, you know. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and then you feel, who's next? And
too true.
And I did, you know, kind of did, there was, I suppose, a sense of, if you were a part-time member of the UDR, you knew your friends, and I'm sure... But the fact that you were not, and you were out on your own...
Yes, yes.
That's true. You really nobody to rely on then, I mean, except the police when they came down to help you.
That's all, and so they weren't there all the time, only... Do you know?
Yeah.
Maybe bringing trouble on you, maybe more, as much as anything else.
Was that something that you tried to keep away from? You know, when... to keep trouble away, like... Not to be drawing it on.
I know, but that's too true. Too true. That is, you have to... You can't depend on, you know, you have to keep trouble away.
Yeah.
Keeping trouble away is the whole thing. Just unbelievable what you had to go through, you know.
And your neighbour on the hill then, your next door neighbour, the farmer,
mm-hmm.
It's tough, like, when it comes to, you know, that you've got to be careful of everyone, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Too true.
And so, but the farming these days then, are you farming the same kind of herd of cattle?
Yes. Same.
And you're still working, you're still farming, I can see.
Still farming.
But would the intensity of farming be as much as it was then? I mean, would you have farmed the same... say, would you have carried out tillage, or did you do tillage in the farm?
No, I've never done any tillage, no. It was always on the grass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pasture.
And with the milk then, did you have to bring the milk to the creamery in the morning, or how?
No, they always collected.
Always?
Always collected at the end of the yard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was milking more cows then, for I was younger then and fitter.
Yeah. which you still are, I mean. But, yeah. And are you the last person now? I mean, you don't, like you said, you don't have a family.
Yes.
So how do you feel being the last in the line of many generations of the Nichols here?
Just one of them things that go to happen.
Yeah.
You can do nothing about that.
No, I suppose. But would you like to see a niece or a nephew? Or
I'd like to see plenty of nephews. I'd like to see someone that's willing to carry on the farm the way I'm carrying on. But
yeah,
it's got to be now. Nobody likes farming for very 7 days a week.
Hmm.
And
I suppose you have to be farming up to 60, 70 cows nearly. Or do, I mean,
That's right.
What acreage of land do you have then?
At the moment?
Yeah.
Well, around 100 acres.
You said that's all the way along the border, which is amazing.
Yes.
So when it came to better prices in the south than the north, or the north, would you use the border as a kind of...
No, I never used the border.
Did you not?
I never. It's only the people that live away from the border uses the border. The ones along the border, I never see any of them using too much.
Yeah. And so, but the cattle mart, or the fair,
mm-hmm.
Where would you bring your cattle to?
Well, near Oyster Clocker, and goes to Clocker. And then they always fatten the cattle and they go to the factory in Dungannon.
So it's always the north then?
Yes. But one time we could bring them the beef into Clonus. It was very handy, it was only down the road.
Yeah.
And they'd send the lorry out, a free lorry out, lift the cattle at the house. But that only stood a couple of years. And I don't know what happened. It was very handy when it...
Would you like that to see, obviously, to see that change again, maybe?
It'd be very handy. We live close to only 3 or 4 miles till Clonus, to see. The factory's over there, it's very handy.
Yeah.
It's handy than going 20 or 30 miles to the factory.
And, but in your life, have you ventured into the south much? Would you go on holidays to Ireland?
The only time I did go on a holiday in my life, it was down south.
You never take holidays?
No. The cows, they say, and the cows has to be milked 7 days a week, and simple as that.
I see. So you're completely tied on to your job.
Yes. Completely locked up in the farm.
Yeah. What was that holiday like? That one holiday?
Oh, just lovely.
Where did you go?
Kildare.
Yeah.
Just lovely.
Different. Did you find it a different country?
A different country. It was nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
But you loved just to... You had somebody to do the walk, depending on the walk.
Yeah.
Just getting someone to do the walk. You want to go for a week or 2 weeks if you do go. And
yeah.
At least.
Yeah. But it's gas. But I suppose that you're happy when you're working too.
Yes.
You
yes.
must be if you're doing it constantly. Yeah.
Well, that's nothing else for you.
Yeah.
When morning comes, you have to hop up and out and away.
Yeah. And the... But that time... Because you were born in 1941 and, you know, you went through, as a child, you went through the emergency or the war years here.
Yes, yeah.
And then the early troubles, did you notice a difference here in the 1950s, late 50s, when there was the first breakout of troubles.
Yes.
Did anything happen up around here at that time that you recall?
Just can't say that time, you know. Things wasn't as vicious that time as it was the last time. I don't know what troubles is for. I always say it's very short. Your life's very short. When you look back, no matter what age you are, it's very short.
Mm. So, but to have it taken away from you, though, like 30 years, long time.
Long time, a long time. Long time to live in dread. I know we started renovating this house and I was meeting merchant. I had a lot of pigs at the time and he said pay the contractors and forget about me. And we started here in March to renovate the house. And in May he was shot in Rusty, Douglas Deering. And he was no security force. And it left an awful blow on us that time, but we're in the middle of renovating the house and we lost our stay just. It's all right that happens, yeah.
Yeah. Just another life gone and also
the
so close to home too.
Like, that's right,
you know,
that's right.
Somebody that you met that morning and expected the next morning.
Too true.
And he didn't turn up.
It's all right. It happens. Just unbelievable. You wouldn't want to happen again, Ella.
No, I suppose that nothing like that should ever happen again. You know,
it should never happen at any time. Mm-hmm. It caused no. There's nothing gained by it, I think.
No.
Only lost a life. And put a lot of families in grief. The murderer, he's still walking about, that the poor person is shot, they can't walk. That's the way I look at it. Once you've been there, you're gone.
And it's the people you leave behind are the real victims, aren't
they? Yeah, too true. They're living and you don't know how a family goes through. It must be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's bad enough when someone belonged to you. You lose someone sudden without violence, but someone that's 100% health to be taken away just in a blink, it's an awful thing.
And so the Eric, are you Church of Ireland?
Yes.
And do you say, are you a person that would go out on the 12th of July and march?
Yes, I would. Yes.
Part of your
tradition. Yes, part tradition, of my main tradition. I think I'm doing nothing wrong. Everyone's up to, it's up to everyone to have their own tradition. And I don't know how they're stopping parades and things, but no one stops football or nothing. They know one. Everyone should be able to have a free country, as far as I see.
Yeah. And your... I suppose, you know, you become accustomed to what has been handed down to you.
Yes.
And so, and then, you know, kind of your, do you see yourself as Irish or do you see yourself as Ulster Scot?
I don't know which Ulster Scot, I don't know where. I'd class myself as British, just that's all.
Yeah. And so you don't have an Irish passport then?
No.
And that's by design, is it?
Well, I never bothered, you know.
Yeah. No, you never needed it.
Never needed it, and I hope I don't need it the rest of my life. I hope they get out of troubles now. And
yeah. Interesting. Eric, it was interesting meeting. Will we walk back to the car again and we chat away as we're walking? But it's fascinating to meet somebody like you, you know, who I suppose had no... You were just in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Mm, I'm caught up in the middle just.
Yeah. Mm. Was this part of the old house? Or did you renovated it? But was this originally the old house? Or was it...
This house belonged to my father's uncle. And then we inherited this place and then I done the house up.
Oh, I see. But this house was built sometime, I'd say, in the late 19th century, or...?
I couldn't say when it was built. Yeah. It was, we just renovated up about 50 years ago, 48 years ago.
Yeah.
We lived down at the school. That's how my home is, down at the school, how I was reared.
Yeah. And the roadway goes straight through your farm.
That's right. Too true. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
The councillor keeps our front street.
The what?
The councillor keeps our front street. The councillor keeps our front street.
See? I can see what you're talking about now when you had to cross the road here to get to your cows.
Yes, right.
And the rolling hills, where am I looking if I'm looking left there?
You're looking over in the Cairn Rock, that's the road into Faymal Town on top of the the street over on top of the hill. Up on the skyline, it'll be the road into Faymal Town.
I see. And if you look south then, over that way?
Over that way, you'll be looking out, that'll be 3 mile house country. There's a booster pole over there, that's... When I got the wife over that country.
What was the name of the townsland she came out of?
The townland is Drumlina.
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 And did she come from a farming background?
Yes,
too?
yes.
So you were saying her name was Moore. What's her Christian name?
Maud.
Maud Moore.
Yeah, Maud. And the place we are living in belonged to... My uncle, my father's uncle, and they were Moors. We are living in a Moors farm here.
My wife's
Moor.
Was that a coincidence?
A coincidence.
Yeah. My goodness. Are these the old buildings here, part of the old establishment?
I suppose. Yes, they would be. Yes.
And it's so quiet, isn't it?
Yes.
And I suppose that would make you nervous too, you know, down through the years.
Uh-huh.
I'd say there were very few cars passed here at all.
Well, very little cars, for the road was all blew up, you see, and checkpoint was down there, and there was nobody.
Of course not.
You're just living in a
week. So it was only the army, really.
That's all, they're just walking, doing patrols, you know.
Yeah.
We always said we're living in a no-go area, just here, there's no...
Yeah.
The army was down there, and from that out to the border, there was nobody. Just,
It's an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Eric, listen, thank you very much for talking to me. I appreciate this very much indeed.